Today's Bible passage is Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 48. Allow me to read the words of God. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." When Jesus entered the temple courts, he began to drive out those who were selling. "It is written," he said to them, "My house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." Every day he was teaching at the temple. But the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. Yet they could not find any way to do it, because all the people hung on his words. The prophets of the Old Testament have nicknames that were given to them according to their lives and ministry. Ezekiel is referred to as a visionary prophet, Amos the prophet of justice, and Hosea the prophet of love. The most well known is Jeremiah as the weeping prophet. The prophet Jeremiah, at the time of Jerusalem's fall, saw the tragedy of King Zedekiah's eyes being taken out, him being bound to shackles and taken with his people to Babylon. He witnessed priests being killed in the temple and saw women eating their children because they had nothing to eat. God allowed the prophet Isaiah to marry his prophetess wife and have two sons, but told the prophet Jeremiah neither to have children nor to marry. He did not perform any miracles and delivered messages that people mostly hated. False prophets said, even if Jerusalem were to be destructed and the people taken as captives, that they would return in 2 to 3 years. But Jeremiah said they would return only after 70 years, so the people considered him a traitor. So he could only weep in the presence of God. This is why we call him the weeping prophet. To better understand the books of Jeremiah and Lamentations of Jeremiah, we can think of the backdrop as Korea of the latter half of the 1800s to 1910. When the Ulsa Treaty of 1905 was made, the chief editor of Hwangsong Shinmun newspaper, Jang Ji-yeon, wrote an opinion piece titled in Chinese characters that meant, "I wail bitterly today." Jeremiah and Lamentations of Jeremiah are words of God that Jeremiah wrote, wailing bitterly, seeing the fall of Jerusalem. The prophet Jeremiah describes the fall of Jerusalem in the following way. This is Lamentations of Jeremiah, Chapter 2, verses 11 through 12. "My eyes fail from weeping. I am in torment within. My heart is poured out on the ground because my people are destroyed, because children and infants faint in the streets of the city. They say to their mothers, 'Where is bread and wine?' As they faint like the wounded in the streets of the city, as their lives ebb away in their mother's arms. In Korean, we describe people's feelings by referring to the organs of the body. There are expressions like the lungs are inflated or the liver has come out of the stomach. Referring to organs of the body to express feelings is a universal form of language. This also applies to the Hebrew language. The prophet Jeremiah refers to organs to emphasize the feelings of sadness and despair from losing his country. First is, my eyes fail. If you put a dead fish in water, the water begins to get muddy and the fish begins to rot. The first sign is the fish's eyes becoming murky. Having wept so much, the prophet Jeremiah used this expression that it was as if his eyes had been placed in water so they decayed. Second is, I am in torment within, which in Korean has been translated into, my intestines are being cut off. A man named Huang Gong of Chinese Dongjin on his way to the state of Shuhan caught a baby monkey at the Yangtze River and took it on the boat, but the mother monkey was said to have followed 40 kilometers wailing. When the boat was anchored, the mother monkey, which jumped onto the boat, died straight away. When Huang Gong cut open the monkey's belly, its intestines were in pieces. This is said to be the origin of the saying. There is also an old Korean popular song, Broken Hearted Mary Rich. The Korean title contains the saying, cutting of intestines. The third expression is, my heart is poured out on the ground. For Israelites, this is an expression of great sadness. But actually, the sadness of losing one's country cannot even be described with these three expressions. Young children were asking their mother for something to eat and drink, but starved to death. In the ninth year of King Zedekiah's rule, over a year and 6 months from 588 BC, Jerusalem was besieged. If downtown Seoul was isolated from outside so that food could not enter for 1 year and 6 months, a tragedy would undoubtedly unfold. Wouldn't it have been the same 2,500 years ago? When Jesus was with his disciples in the city of Caesarea Philippi, which had been built for the Roman emperor, he asked them, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" The disciples responded by saying what they heard from the people. Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. John the Baptist was the first person of God that appeared in 400 years since the last prophet of the Old Testament, Malachi. His message brought great shock to the people. After hearing his message, people confessed their sins and lined up to be baptized at the Jordan. The disciples' answer meant that the people considered Jesus comparable to John. The prophet Elijah went against the worshipping of idols that took place under King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. He let the people see God by taking on 450 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and he brought back a dead boy to life. People had considered Jesus' miracles the same as those of the prophet of Elijah. One of the prophets refers to Jesus as someone who was called to preach the word of God, as was the case for prophets. These words of the people at the time of Jesus were not proper confessions of who Jesus was. They were like insults in some sense. If a pastor was likened to John the Baptist, the prophet Elijah, or a prophet, this would be the best of compliments. But likening Jesus to them would be like complimenting Marie Curie or Albert Einstein for getting a perfect score in the science subject of the college entrance exam. Actually, it cannot be likened to this either. Likening Jesus to a prophet is like bringing the Creator down to the position of a creation. So this is why Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say I am?" But to Jesus' first question, one of the answers was Jeremiah. The prophet Jeremiah suffered because of his own people, because he delivered the word of God. Jesus, meanwhile, was ostracized and suffered because he delivered the gospel. We call Jeremiah the weeping prophet. In today's passage, we see Jesus weeping. Jesus went to Jerusalem on a young colt that had never carried anyone. This may have appeared shabby or even funny, but people called out in loud voices, "Hosanna, the descendant of David." The praising continued until Jesus entered Jerusalem. This is how Matthew chapter 21 verses 10 to 11 describe the scene. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the entire city was stirred. The word stirred does not mean murmuring or talking while busily moving around. In Greek, this is seio, a term seen in Matthew chapter 27. When Jesus died on the cross, the sky lost its color, the curtain of the temple was torn, and the earth shook, splitting rocks. The Greek word used in "the earth shook" is the same word used for stir. Like the grounds shake when there is an earthquake, people's hearts were moved when they saw Jesus entering Jerusalem. But this did not happen because they correctly understood who Jesus was and accepted him. As we have seen in the past 2 weeks, this was due to the illusion people created from their desires. People thought if this was someone who could make the blind see and raise Lazarus from death by calling him from his grave, that he could also grant the wishes they had. The Jesus people believed in was not Jesus himself, but Jesus' powers that could be used to grant their wishes. The people of Israel passionately welcomed Jesus, but this was his response in verse 41. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. Jesus did not acknowledge the welcoming of the people, but wept when he saw Jerusalem. The Bible records Jesus weeping three times on earth, and this is the second time. The first time was at the grave of Lazarus, and the third time can be seen in the book of Hebrews. It expresses Jesus praying at the Garden of Gethsemane as offering up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears. So in the four Gospels, there are two scenes of Jesus weeping. But weeping is different in the two scenes. The sisters Martha and Mary had a place in Jesus' heart, but he didn't go straight to them when he heard their brother Lazarus was ill. He stayed where he was two more days before leaving. When Jesus arrived in 4 days at the grave of Lazarus, Martha and Mary looked at Jesus with resentment. Jesus was troubled after seeing the Jews who were weeping in front of Lazarus' grave. This is what John chapter 11 verses 33 to 35 say. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he said. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. What troubled Jesus? The people involved with Lazarus' death. Martha and Mary and the Jews at his funeral were people who knew Jesus. But they all kept the Creator, Jesus Christ, inside their thoughts. When Jesus said he would raise Lazarus from the dead, Martha, who had confessed Jesus as the Son of God, blocked him, saying the body smelled of decay because 4 days had passed since his death. And the Jews said, "The person who made the blind see could not prevent Lazarus from dying?" No one who was there had a correct understanding of who Jesus was. Jesus wept because he pitied these people who thought they believed God. Jesus wept of John chapter 11 verse 35 is the shortest verse in the English Bible. The word for wept in Greek is dakruo, and this means silently shedding tears. There are times when you feel pressure on your chest and you want to say a lot of things but end up crying because you don't know what to say and where to start. This word makes us think of the state. If you look at the Greek word for wept in verse 41 of today's passage, it is different from the word used in the book of John. It is kleio in Greek, and this means to weep audibly, to lament. We know what kind of tears we shed before the death of a family member or of another loved one, Jesus shed such kind of tears. When people saw Jesus riding on the young colt into Jerusalem, they sang in loud voices, "Hosanna, the descendant of David." But Jesus wept out aloud. These scenes show a sharp contrast. Why did Jesus weep like this? Was he sad about his death on the cross that would take place in 5 days? Did he weep because this troubled him? This was not the case. Let's look at verses 42 through 44. And Jesus said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring to you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." What people knew about God and Jesus were all illusions built by their desires, and they had no interest in what would happen to Jerusalem. This was the reason behind Jesus' tears. Jesus was weeping for the death of Jerusalem. The Jerusalem Jesus was in meant a ground of peace. But people who lived there were not interested in what true peace was and how they could live in this peace. Jesus' prophecy was realized 40 years after Jesus ascended into heaven. The Jewish-Roman War began in A.D. 66. We call this the First Jewish-Roman War. This war ended at around the year 73, but Jerusalem was already completely destroyed 3 years earlier in the year 70. Roman soldiers attacked Jerusalem a number of times, but because of its location on highlands, it was like a natural fort. But the general Titus, who later became Rome's 10th emperor, utilized a strategy of building a wall as tall as the walls around Jerusalem and besieging it, and made it fall. According to the Jewish historian Josephus, 970,000 people were taken as captives and 1.1 million were killed. At the time, countless people were in Jerusalem for the Passover, and they are said to have firmly believed that God would not allow Jerusalem to be taken down by the Roman soldiers. Jesus wept because he saw the future of Jerusalem and its death. Like Jesus, someone who faces the Lord and makes the Lord and his words the purpose of their lives are weeping people. The Apostle Paul said the following in Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 through 19. "For, as I have often told before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. Philippians is referred to as the gospel of joy. The apostle Paul was locked up, but regardless, he was delivering the message of joy Christians should have. When making offerings, drink offerings offer the fragrance of wine to God. This meant that those making the offering would be joyful even if their lives were to be poured like the wine and disappear by becoming a martyr. Paul was weeping as he spoke. Here the same word kleio used for Jesus' weeping was used. Jesus wept because he knew what would happen to Jerusalem. Why did Paul weep? It was because of the people who were living as enemies of the cross. Actually, Paul himself had lived this way before he encountered Jesus. He thought of the cross as a symbol of shame, but not as a symbol of salvation. So he took pride in that he was circumcised on the eighth day after he was born, and that he was of the Benjamin tribe of the people of Israel. To this man came Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose from the dead. Previously, Paul was certain that the cross meant nothing to him, but after meeting Christ, everything else that he cherished so much seemed meaningless. People who lived as enemies of the cross may have lived extravagant lives, but this ended with death. Even if a person's life appears extravagant and someone is in a position others envy, if these lives do not have a connection with Jesus Christ, these people will let out deep sighs. If they ultimately refuse to become connected to Christ, the sigh they let out will be irreversible. For people who live as enemies of the cross, their desires and worldly values are their ultimate value, and the world is all there is for them. Paul could only weep when he saw the people living this way. The author of Psalms also says in chapter 119, verse 136, "Streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed." The author of Psalms says, "Others not following the word of God make streams of tears flow for him." A person that does not follow the word of God will not weep seeing another person that does not follow the word of God. They will use this as an excuse. The reason the author could make such a confession is because he struggled to follow the word of God. Tears shed from repenting one's past are valued, but tears shed for others are more valued. In the past, Christians shed many tears. They wept because it was deeply moving that Christ accepted us, who are undeserving. Then, only the Lord was their hope, and they confessed that the Lord was all they had. They also wept for the people who did not know about the gospel. They desperately prayed for mercy for these souls. An entire church would pray together for this. But it is hard to see tears of Christians of today. It may be because we think that we can sufficiently live in this world with our knowledge or what we have. It may be because we think it is a given that God accepts us. There are more than 35 million people in Korea that still have yet to meet the Lord. But we do not think that we should love them or have mercy on them. The church exists as the salt and light of the world. This is what our Lord said. But since some point, churches began to think they need power, things that look better from a worldly viewpoint rather than strength that comes from trusting only in God and His Word. Churches are making a lot of noise, but tears have disappeared. So churches of today are considered by the world to have lost the taste of salt and light of true light. This means the problem lies in each of us who comprise the church. Today we mark the first week of Lent, a time we think about the suffering of Christ and His resurrection. Let us remember the Lord who wept looking at Jerusalem. We've sought to be saved through the cross and resurrection of Christ, but haven't tried to live as the salt and light in our lives, in our families, and at our workplaces. We have forgotten that we need to weep for others and sought worldly desires and values. Let us repent for these sins, and let us live lives of worship in truth and Holy Spirit, and let us walk with the Lord who lives. Let us not forget that wherever we may be, whatever we may do, that when we sow our tears and seeds, we will become the salt and light of the world. Then the resurrection of Christ will revive the places we are at, and we will see changes unfold before us. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for giving us your words that showed your tears, marking the first week of Lent, a time we think of your suffering and remember your resurrection. Jesus wept for the desire-driven cries of the people of Israel, the temple that was not holy, and for the future of Jerusalem, which would be taken down in 40 years. We are struck by this because we are no different from what made Jesus weep. The prophet Jeremiah wept for his fallen country. The apostle Paul wept because of the people who lived selfishly according to worldly values. The author of Psalms wept because of the people who did not follow the word of God. These tears reestablished a country, churches, and changed people's lives. Let us not forget that our tears make our lives completely different from the ways of the past. Change our families, churches, and country. Above all, let us not forget that the Lord's tears made the people we are today. Let us put in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.